Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
I've got cracks where I'll have a chance to do this. And okay. I am very excited.
Okay.
I was legitimately very impressed.
What?
The short time that I spent with it when you were here in January.
Oh, yeah. And it's the worst consumer grade VR headset we will ever have. They're only going to get better from here.
I think you're right. I hope that people keep making them, companies keep making them. I hope there's enough demand.
You think it may go away as a dead-end technology?
It might. That's already started
really?
To dry up. Yeah, we're seeing companies that were heavily invested in putting out new, you know, more and more headsets pulling back. You've got the epic Apple failure with their Apple VR headset.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? That thing blew up badly. So I think there's – I'm worried about the technology.
Okay.
And just the revenue.
Have you seen that place – I think it's in Dallas where it's a dome of high-definition screens – that makes you feel like you're in the game itself, like you're sitting end zone.
Is it like being in the Sphere in Vegas?
Kind of, but on a smaller scale. It's got a weird, funky name. I can look it up right now in just a second if you talk.
I would be happy to do some talking. This we had a thing in the Twin Cities called the Omni Theater in the like 70s and 80s and 90s. And it was a huge movie screen. You sat tilted back up at the towards the ceiling, and it was a huge curved screen that was very close to the audience, and it filled your entire field of vision.
Yeah,
we had that thing,
Cosm,
as a kid growing up.
It's called Cosm, like microcosm.
Okay,
COSM, 180 degree, 12K LED screen that does look like a miniature sort of sphere.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe this will be the thing. Okay. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we have our intro music.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
I'll add post production. All that first stuff is on the record, though, just so you know. Here we go. There you go. Did you hear? I did not put the extra loo in there. It was all cuckoo coos. So
you are trainable, it turns out. Who knew? Wow.
Right. I am trainable, unlike Will Levis, who is not trainable. He's a moron.
Does he have the two worst passes of the NFL season? Are both Will Levis passes?
Pretty bad, yeah.
Possible.
Yeah. But we head towards another week of the National Football League, and who knows what will happen. I ask you, Charge, as a fellow Kirk jerk, did you have as big of an adrenaline rush on Monday night watching our guy rally the Falcons past those fucking Eagles?
There were two reasons I loved it, Zabe. Number one, you should have seen my Twitter timeline after week one when Kirk looked bad. He was getting obliterated by the Steelers. People don't realize Steelers are like the best defense in the NFL, and all the bad mechanics and everything was so bad. And then to have him come out, and it wasn't like he was brilliant.
He didn't light it up.
No, but he was good enough to rally that team to a late victory on the road, in which he was a decided underdog. I liked that. I'm rooting for Kirk, but then there's this, same. In a day, in a weekend that knocked out like 70% of the circa millions pool players. Oh. I am still alive, baby. And that one drilled like 900 people.
No way. Mm-hmm. Why did so many people have Philly as a survivor this week? Were there no better choices?
Well, the quote, better choices all got hammered too, Zabe. This was arguably the biggest upset weekend in the history of the Circa Million Survivor Pool. Let me tell you some of the things that went down in this one because it was nasty. Let me see if I can get this. Here we go.
All right, so while you ask that question, I have a hard time believing that the Chargers over the Panthers was not a more popular choice than anyone.
Here's the order that they were in. Ravens upset by the Raiders.
Right.
That knocked out 2,300 entries, 26% of the pool dead on that.
Use percentages because nobody knows raw numbers.
Right. How many people are in it?
Yeah.
Lions, 10% of the pool dead. Eagles, 9% of the pool dead. Jaguars, dead. Cowboys, the Saints beat the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, that was 3% of the pool dead. So it was a brutal week, and I'm still alive.
So what percentage of the Circa Million Survivor Pool are still alive? What percentage?
27%
of
the original.
Shit.
It's been 2 weeks, Zabe. 2 weeks, and we've knocked out 73% of the field.
2 weeks, and think of all of the time and effort and jabbing of our gums that have been spent for months now leading up to the season. Unbelievable.
Oh God. It's glorious. This is part of why we love the NFL, Zabe.
I know.
We all think we know so much and we all got our angles and then this stuff happens and the Saints look like the best team in the NFL.
Yes. You know nothing, John Stark. Or no, John Snow, excuse
me. John Snow.
At
this point, Game of Thrones is a decade old. You can be forgiven.
I guess you're right. It is getting pretty dog-eared. And I guess the prequels have not been met with much juice, even by the hardcore fans. I've yet to dig in. I keep saying I'm going to start, but I guess first season of House of the Dragon was widely panned.
I didn't finish it. I got through about six episodes and then just got bored and moved on to other things because there's so much good television. You know, it felt like a B minus production, but television is littered with A and A minus TV. So, you know, I wasn't going to go for that.
Yeah. Ygritte was his girlfriend, the sweet little redheaded dime piece who lived north of the wild. Well, one of the wilding women who had to tell him to his face, you know nothing, John Snow. You know nothing about the NFL. You think you know, but you don't know. And as Jim Mora Sr. once said, you'll never know. Is it a perfect league or is it too chaotic, dare I ask?
No, people are here for the chaos, right? Okay. You've got your handful of steady teams that make it not look and feel random. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs is a perfect example for right now. So that you don't sense that the whole thing is just like a coin flip. So you've got these things that are bankable, and then you've got the week in and week out randomness that makes us feel alive and makes us interested every week to see how this thing's going to turn out, because unless the Panthers are playing, you just don't know.
Yeah. So the game finished last night in horrific fashion for the Eagles because their head coach is a galaxy brain. What does galaxy brain mean when it comes to NFL coaches?
Do tell.
It's not a compliment. Let's put it that way. When I call somebody a galaxy brain, it's when a football guy thinks he's too smart and immune to the randomness of the game itself. Like I said this before on the pod, I'll say it again today. All these coaches that call plays charge never envision their plays can fail. They think they're all brilliant. When in reality, logic says, well, the other team has coaches and a film room and players.
Yep.
So what is the average success probability of any given play from any given play caller? Probably about 50-50.
Yes.
So when you consider that every play you call has a chance of being a failure, then you have to immediately consider what happens if it fails. And if Sirianni had just done that and said, okay, hold on a second, a run here is way better on so many levels, because guess what? Even a perfectly dialed up play, which they had to Saquon, sometimes ends up in a drop or a slip or a penalty or a million different things. Run it, you dipshit.
Yeah. Sounds like you are a guy who agreed in the call. I do agree with the call, because Saquon Barkley has about the best hands in the NFL traditionally, right? He was wide open. He would have strolled into the end zone for a touchdown. And things can go wrong. Most of the things you stated can go wrong on a running play too. There can be penalties. There can be fumbles. So I do not have any problem with the play call at the end. Saquon Barkley makes that catch 96 times out of 100, and okay, he didn't this time.
Right, but see, the thing is, you can't do these long-run odds regressions on it's the right play because 99 out of 100, he catches it. Because a football game is an episodic thing. It has a beginning and an end, and when the game ends, if you're not leading on the scoreboard, you lose. And it cuts off. So there's no carryover. You can't say, well, percentage-wise, it's the best play. Every NFL game is episodic that has a finality to it that is dramatic, a win or a loss that then determines if you play in the postseason. So you can't just go by the numbers. I'm surprised. I am surprised and
disappointed.
And disappointed that a man who loves gaming, and strategy, ladies and gentlemen, Church loves board games. I mean, really I loves them. He loves to learn the rules, know the rules, figure out how to play, reverse engineer. Church scorns. He scoffs at games that have very little strategy, like Monopoly. Ugh. Right?
Ugh. Terrible game, Monopoly. Yes.
But these coaches make these mistakes because they're too busy coaching. And what I think the first team to do this will set a trend in the NFL that will become widely adopted is to hire a chief strategist as a coach. And he has no coaching duties, doesn't hand guys pictures of film or lineups or coach technique on the sidelines or worry about packages. He literally watches the game and thinks and thinks and thinks strategy the entire time. Because let's say with five and change to go, as Sirianni's trying to call up the right plays to get a first down somewhere back on his own 30, he's not thinking about, okay, what happens if the drive ends? Where are we at in the game? What's the likelihood of Kirk coming back for a touchdown? What does a field goal do for us here? What are our risk factors? A strategist, though, Charge, would do only that. And he would tell the coach, we're running here. That's our strategy. We're running because no matter what, the clock keeps going. If we're close to a first down, first of all, we get a first down, game's over on third and four. If we're close, we can run the tush push. We're still in great shape. Clock will be under a minute at that point. Or we kick a field goal and it's still about a minute. We're in a better shape there. But I want to pass. I got a great pass. I know I can get Saquon open on an arrow route out in the flat. Don't care. You may miss. He may drop it. That's what a strategist would do. What would you think about that?
It is believed the Rams were the first team to have somebody like that. Now, he doesn't have that kind of power that you're talking about.
Right.
Somebody can actually override your head coach.
If you don't give that guy the power, timeout here, no timeout there, yes pass or run, field goal or no, go for it on fourth or no, then it won't work. It will not work. The chief strategist has to have complete strategy control. Not
never,
a hunch.
Which will never happen. Will never happen.
Well, team and a smart owner would implement it and demand the coach go by it or he'd be fired. Because
no coach will won't even sign up for that job.
Bullshit. Somebody took the Panthers job, Dave Canales. Well, handsome fella, too, by the way. He's in for a long year. No, they'll take the job. And here's another reason why, Church. In addition to the fact they're too busy to be thinking strategy all the time like we are on the couch, Because on the couch, we watch a million games. We see all these outcomes all the time. We see the mistakes that teams make all the times. So we know how this game, this little board game called the NFL, typically gets won and lost. Because we see a lot of reps. The coaches don't see a lot of reps. They're coaching. They're installing offenses, right? They're in position group meetings trying to put out fires. And on top of that, they are creatures of emotion. They go by their gut.
A lot.
And they go for things because big bad linebacker comes up to them on the sideline on fourth and four and says, "Fucking go for it, coach!" And you feel like if you don't, you're a pussy. And then that linebacker is going to look at you differently in the facility on Monday if you end up losing the game.
If you're afraid of your own linebacker, you shouldn't be a head coach. I think most of them don't get to be a head coach.
You're wired that way. It's not that they're afraid. They're humans. Humans crave approval deep down. Even the hardos that are in big-time million-dollar positions like head coach. So all these things cloud judgment. Mike Zimmer's a fucking zilch. His fucking defense got lit up down in Dallas.
It really did. Yeah. By the way, he had a scathing interview about his time with Minnesota about a week ago that hit right before the season started.
Did you guys feast on it up there at KFan?
A little bit. It was revelatory. For example, our backup quarterback was a kid named Kellen Mond, who they took in the third round.
Yeah.
And get this. Never spoke a word to the head coach.
Why not?
Not a single word.
Was he mute?
Zimmer wouldn't talk to him.
On purpose?
Yes. He's so unapproachable. Because he is a dick. He's so unapproachable. There was no feedback loop. Nobody could tell Mike Zimmer anything about what was going wrong or things they wanted to do. No feedback loop whatsoever.
My God.
Yes.
It's a miracle you guys won anything under him.
It's astounding that he made it as long as he did. And the situation with Kirk, as it turns out, was way, way worse than anybody knew. Almost no communication there either. So yeah, it was a poisoned environment. He co-owned a racehorse with Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings,
yes,
and the guy with whom I do Friday morning radio.
Right.
And Paul, Paul's killing 3 hours every day. You know what this is like. Sometimes you're going to say things that are not 100% complimentary to a player or a coach.
Now wait, Paul's, he co-owned a horse with Kirk or with
Zimmer? Okay. With Zimmer. And
don't you have to disclose that to your employer?
I don't know. Maybe
not like, didn't like dating know. Somebody maybe. Like, hey, by the way, did he disclose that to his listeners? I trust.
I don't know for sure if he did or didn't. I think he did talk about it. Cause he talks about his horse. He owns several different horses.
I know. They're trotters, aren't they? They're the buggy. Oh, I thought they were the buggy horse. Okay. He's a very well acclaimed horse racing announcer as well.
He is probably the best horse racing announcer in the country, and he's probably one of the five best radio play-by-play football voices.
He's outstanding.
Well. Yeah. He is very, very good. So anyway, they have this horse together. Paul says something he didn't like. Zimmer calls him up and says, "I'm out. You got to sell my shares." Forced him to sell out of the horse. Yeah. So the guy's just an ass.
And wow, that's so weird. How would Paul Allen's the voice of the team, so he's never going to really go deep hard in on the coach. He'll be fair, obviously, and his calls when Favre threw that pick were legendarily non-Homer-tastic. So I give him credit for that. But yeah, that's kind of wild right there. Well, you know what? Kirk persevered through that. And that's because he's a pro. And I just have to state for the record, the reason that I am such a Kirk jerk and such a fan of his is that I find him to be an exceptionally good pro athlete person. And I consider him to be a supreme overachiever. Mm-hmm. And I also appreciate that he leans into and makes no apologies for his dorkiness. And his humble family lifestyle and the Kohl's cash and the Kirko chains thing. And the most important thing about why I love Kirk so much is not just the fact he's an overachiever, a grinder, a decent human being, and leans into the fact he ain't about that life. He defeated Dan Snyder. He pantsed our dipshit owner. He stared him down, and Snyder's butt buddy, booze buddy, Bruce Allen, when they said, we're going to franchise you, and he's like, fine. And then he had a great year, and they go, here's a shitty offer. You want it? He's like, nah.
No.
Okay, another franchise tag. And they're like, God damn, this guy. And then he had another great year, and then he walked out the fucking door on him. It was so glorious. I'm telling you, it was the greatest thing ever. And so for that, I will always love Kirk Cousins. So I was very happy for him. And also watching the Eagles lose is a pure delight. I have to ask you, Chart, like they're one of my favorite teams to watch lose. Okay.
And so
that was incredible. And the fact that Sirianni, who just looks like one of those, you know, South Philly pieces of trash on the sidelines, was so stupid in what he did. I'm like, good. And also, the prevent defense got punished again by God. And that is something I love to see. They rush four. Kirk went tick, tack, toe. Next thing you know, Slay's getting roasted. Good night now. Yep, never rush four when you're trying to win the game. Rush five. You got six defenders back there. They'll figure out an area to cover. Rush five is a baseline, you dummies.
Kirk was just like 18 yards here, 20 yards here, 14 yards here, 8 yards here. And the next thing you know, they're ready to win the game.
Right.
And you know, the prevent defense sucks. And hey, speaking of,
did you see the clip of the Manning cast with Matt Ryan on the final drive?
Yes.
It was glorious because Peyton and Eli have gotten so good together. They're so comfortable. I know they're brothers, but they're really good at doing this now. And they pretty much were like so locked in. And I love what Matt Ryan explained. He goes, look, the holy trifecta when you're trying to, you know, 2-minute drill, trying to get down the field and score is one, positive first play. First play has to be positive. Might only be for 7 or 8 yards. Got to be positive.
Yep.
Leg one of the Trinity is first play is positive. Leg two is no negative plays. And leg three is one
explosive
chunk play. Yeah.
Yep.
One chunk. And he said it was textbook. Textbook the way they did it. So.
Yep. And the other thing I loved, you saw Manning, Peyton, going after, who was it? Oh, they were calling out. I guess this was 2 weeks ago. Brandon Ayuk's drop in the back. When you were like, hey.
Yeah, he's like, come on, man.
This is why we got these contests.
Right. We need to practice. All right. That's a perfectly thrown ball. See, as a quarterback, he resented that Purdy threw a dime as part of the quarterback fraternity, and a wide receiver dropped it, especially a wideout who was bitching about his money all offseason.
Correct. And then after he finally signed his deal, acknowledged that he had wasted everybody's time. He had to buckle. He didn't get any more money after all of that. He got no more money.
Right. Meanwhile, Hassan Reddick's money is a bonfire in the woods in Jersey. Just losing money. He's lost like $8 million. Jesus,
people aren't talking about this enough, Zabe. Because players almost never do this. This is Le'Veon Bell and him.
Yeah.
You know, this is like, you know, this never happens. And he is, you know, and if you're the Jets, how do you make that trade without having effectively the deal in place? Knowing that you're getting traded a player who wants a new deal. It's the whole reason you're getting the trade. Don't you have to foundationally know what that deal is and have an agreement on it before you give up? Give up a third rounder?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah.
You would think. But as much as they're happy to be out of the Eagles are happy to be out of the Hassan Reddick deal, this guy, Bryce Huff, they paid money to. $51 million from the Jets has turned out to be a bust so far. He had a breakout season last year, had 10 sacks, even though he was like undrafted. And they're like, here, have a bunch of money. And they're like, this guy can't fucking rush the quarterback. So it's not good. Hiring with Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us.
Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. Now, the end of game situation where it was great fodder for us on radio was a perfect reminder to play one of my favorite bites from Mad TV about
Mad TV.
Whoa, Mad okay. TV. Do you remember this old ditty about reporters grilling football coaches after games?
Talk about momentum.
Coach! When the game was on the line, you made a decision that didn't pan out, obviously. Why didn't you decide to do the other thing that would have panned out 100%? I mean, that's what I would have done. The thing that would have worked. The thing that you didn't do.
I'm sorry. Who are you?
Obnoxious reporter, some East Coast paper.
How fucking great is that?
That's awesome. Yeah. I had never heard that. That's fantastic. How old is that? That is now like 15 years old, right? Mad TV, 20 years old?
It's from a long time ago. You know who was playing the coach in that skit?
No.
A famous 70s and early 80s radio DJ impersonator of sorts who would take songs and turn them into parodies.
Wait, not like, Rick D's.
Like Eat It by Michael Jackson instead of Beat It.
Wait a Weird minute. Weird Al? That was Yankovic. Weird Al? Oh, I love it. That's great.
Yeah, look up Weird Al Yankovic as football coach, Mad TV, and you'll see it.
Weird Al is a national treasure.
Really is. Can we talk about the penalty, though, for the machine gun celebration and your thoughts on it?
No. Oh, yes. okay. So, apparently, unbeknownst to me, it is a penalty. So I did not know that you could not make a gun-related gesture.
Did you learn about it because I looked it up and tweeted it right after it happened? Or you learned about it yourself?
I was watching the game going, what? That's a penalty? I did not know that was a penalty. So, get this.
Here's the rules on touchdown celebrations. It says, okay. Throat slash is a violation. Machine gun salute, violation. Sexually suggestive gestures, violation. Prolonged gyrations are a violation.
Whatever that means.
Well, I go to another bit. Are you aware of the Hingle McCringleberry three pumps rule?
No, but
I am very interested
in anything called the three bump rule.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to send you the link. This is from Key and Peele. You know who Key and Peele are?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yes.
So they did a bit of, you know, football players, and this one wide receiver by the name of Hingle McCringleberry scored a touchdown and did two crotch thrusts with his arms behind his head, and the referee goes right up to his crotch to watch for the third pump.
Now, if he pumps a third time, he will draw his third penalty for today. Everybody here, waiting with bated breath.
He did it!
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did it!
Oh, that's just
couldn't
help himself.
Amazing! I mean, come on, in professional football,
it's really...
It's
a shame. Yes. That's what it is.
Yes,
you can argue all you want, but the flag, well, it's been thrown.
That's right. If it's
I mean, talk about real life mirroring, television, but I think it's bullshit. The other rules, by the way, are crazy. Like, for example, outside props. Using outside props is restricted, it says.
So you can, depending on the prop. I know you can't use a cell phone. Remember Chad Ocho Cinco did that, right?
So what does restricted mean versus violation or prohibited? Like, this is where you get into it as a lawyer. Excessive celebration is penalized when the players use goalposts as a prop, make lewd or violent gestures, or prolong celebrations to delay the game. Spinning the ball in the air after a touchdown could be considered disrespectful and result in a taunting penalty. I couldn't even imagine what spinning it in the air meant exactly.
Well, you know, guys can spin. I can't do it where they can spin a football and then get it to spin on the ground. I guess it would be something like that, I suppose. But don't forget, you can't do it near another player. Because if you do it near another player, then you're taunting them.
Yeah. It's bullshit. I just wish they would look the other way on this. Sort of like when CJGJ made the big stop in the hole and his helmet came off. And they called a flag at first, then picked it up. You know, looking at the replay, I'm like, the helmet was half off. But he didn't really try to put it on, per se, but it kind of was already off. Then it tumbled away from him. He's super excited. The place is on tilt. You're not going to call that. Fucking pick that flag up. That doesn't add to anyone's enjoyment as fans of the game.
Oh, I've been meaning to ask you this related to that. What do you think about the instant overrules that we get like once a game or so?
I do not like
it. That comes from New York, where they see something that is apparently very obvious and in theory, so obvious that they just make an instant reaction to it and they change it on the spot without us having to go into a lengthy challenge process, burn more time. You know, a lot of the things that you hate about it get solved by this.
It's quicker, but I still don't like it because now it's warping the very fabric of the strategy of what are you or are you not going to challenge. And coaches still make the worst fucking decisions. Eberflus challenged a catch by the Texans that any moron could see was a catch. And you're like, you just don't know what you're doing.
Okay, wait. Let's be clear on this. The head coach is only a small part of that. The head coach ultimately has to decide whether or not to drop the red flag. But it's all the people in his ear from upstairs who have got the angles and the TVs and they're watching the replays. Those are the people who are really making that call. They tell the head coach what the probability is. They go, you know, we think this is strongly in our favor, or it's strongly not in our favor. And a lot of times that's coded stuff, you know, like this is a challenge 8 because it's an 8 out of 10 likelihood that it'll happen, you know, it'll go favorable. Yeah. And so, but then the coach makes the call. But I think people over blame the coaches when it's really a systemic failure for the people who have got all the angles and have got all way more intel than the head coach has.
Yeah, maybe it's systemic. I think the coaches also, though, they want to be bailed out. You know, Joe Gibbs, his second time around, hired a guy to be in charge of his replay decisions, and then he just started overruling the guy and making the worst decisions because Gibbs was like, oh, damn, I really want that interception. I think it might. Let's give it a shot. Why not? Who knows, right? When you at home are going, that's never getting overturned. I've watched too much football to know.
Gibbs is old school. You know, well, he was a 70s, 80s era coach, right?
I know. Well, he was, but he also was of a different mindset. But at the same time, he's a human being. Human beings make human decisions based on emotion.
Gibbs is where in the pantheon of Washington football team head coaches?
Oh, I mean, he's the coach.
One with a bullet, right?
He's one, and then George Allen's number two.
But yeah,
Allen George got Allen. To a Super Bowl, didn't win it, though. So, yeah. No, Gibbs is number one. And despite Gibbs' unfortunate cozying up to Snyder for a second run that was mostly unsuccessful, and he did it just for the race car money. He needed Snyder to sponsor another team of his in NASCAR. And it was a very financially beneficial return for Gibbs. And he had a lot of bad seasons in there. And then Sean Taylor died, and then he left. He left without really telling Snyder, and that's how he ended up with Jim Zorn. Because they were like, yeah, no. Gibbs had another year in his contract, and nobody thought he was leaving, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, peace. I'm out. And Snyder was like,
but he didn't
tell
anybody on the way out the door. Like, they found out when he stopped showing up for work.
Left Snyder completely flat-footed, basically. And then they scrambled to hire somebody, and the best they could come up with was Jim Zorn. That was a waste of two fucking years. Okay. People wanted me to talk to you. I've already gotten texts about this because you're a tech guy and you're a man of the world and world events about this apparent Israeli cell phone bomb plot where they blew up 2,000 plus either pagers or cell phones that had gotten into the hands of Hezbollah assets or terrorists. I'm sure by now you've seen some of the videos coming out on this. They used PETN. Don't ask me to
what
do
is
the
that? Action.
It's polyethylene tetracycline or PETN.
Okay. All right.
It's a very ounce for ounce, micron for micron, powerful explosive. Probably one of the biggest bang for the buck. You put a tiny little bit where you want it to. They put it inside these phones or pagers, and then they were able to send a text or a code secretly that would heat up the battery and then went kaboom.
And set it off.
And they had these phones that were basically distributed, left behind in Iran to an asset that convinced Hezbollah to say these are secure because they already knew we can't communicate because the Mossad is probably listening in, looking in at our texts. We need good black market devices. And so the Mossad got a pallet of those supposedly super secure devices and then went kaboom.
Unreal. You know, I'm not in favor of blowing anybody up, but man, what a sophisticated way to do it. How do you not have some respect for the fact that they actually executed something at that level? That's spycraft of the highest order right there.
It's the ultimate FAFO, if you ask me. And while there was a lot
FAFO?
FAFO? I'm having to explain a lot of things to Charge tonight. Okay, really just stick with it. It's all right. He's busy doing fantasy. Guillotine Leagues, by the way, guillotineleagues.com. Can you still sign up to get going or what's the story? Okay.
And
of course, you can go there to get your rankings and stuff. It's a goddamn MASH unit out there for fantasy players, isn't it? So many
it is.
Big names.
Oh, so many bloodbaths. Yeah, right. So many bloodbaths. Right. Yes.
Okay. Anyway, Charge. FAFO is short for fuck around and find out.
Oh, got you. Okay.
So, this is like, unfortunately, this is a very serious geopolitical backseat of the car argument. He started it. No, he did. But we all know which side started it. And it was heinous and brutal on October 7th. And they shot children point blank range. And parents point blank range and burned them and did tortured and kidnapped them and are still holding them. So that is way worse than, unfortunately, innocent bystanders sitting at a Quickie Mart or standing in line getting some shrapnel from some Hezbollah member's phone that blows up. It's unfortunate, but this is called fucking war. War is not fucking fun. And Israel is sick of it. So that's my final stance on that.
Well, I to me, that all sounds reasonable. But
anything to add about that?
Yeah.
Are you worried? Are you worried then about your own device someday falling prey to?
No, I don't know. My device is going to fall prey to my own government. That's where my device is going to fall prey, is my government deciding my social score isn't high enough. And
right.
Or they want to find out.
Chinese credit score coming.
Or,
yeah.
Right. It's coming. And then, or they find out that my, you know, my conversations are, they want to, you know, hear my conversations in case I'm spreading disinformation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
fucking
know,
Hillary. Hillary this week saying there should be some penalties, including actual criminal penalties. For misinformation,
I'm like, how rich coming from her? That
how
she wants
rich?
People,
exactly.
She wants people to face their crimes. Oh, come on.
Yeah, no, she's the fucking worst. And your boy Walls saying there's got to be some penalties for disinformation. He actually said, your boy Walls said, free speech is not necessarily free speech.
Well, that's our guy right there.
unfortunately, the guy I know.
If your phone blows up, there is a 99% chance. It either was right next to your balls or your head.
I know. Oh, and some of the triage videos of the people going into hospitals is horrific. I mean, people with their eyes bleeding out, nuts bleeding off. Now, the memes are pretty good. Like Martyrola instead of Motorola.
Oh, yeah. No, I got sent one today that I cannot repeat.
You cannot repeat on the air?
No. No, yeah. I don't think so. Well, here, let me send it to you, and then I'll let you decide if you think this is something that you want to deal with, because I can't do it, but, you know, maybe in your mind, this is okay. Take that right there. Tell me what
okay,
you think of that.
Here we go. Yeah, no, I'm definitely not gonna read that one either. Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. No, probably shouldn't.
Yeah. All right, real quick.
Wait, let's end
on a happy note.
Wait. We're going to talk about great technology espionage of all time. I want to make sure that you know about Stuxnet.
Stuxnet. See?
Yep.
Oh, he's got you on that one, doesn't he?
All right. Now I got you.
Know, huh? Ah, okay. Yep. Stuxnet. Talk to me.
This is from about, I don't know, 8 years ago. Iran is doing all of their, you know, their nuclear stuff, right? They're trying to get their nuclear power plants going and, you know, become a fully nuclear country. And the U.S. and Israel combined forces to get it into Iran. And the way they did it was fascinating, Zay, because the Iran nuclear facilities are entirely closed off from the rest of the world.
They sped up their centrifuges, if I'm not mistaken.
That's exactly right. You're
just
exactly
by a
right.
tiny little bit that fucked up the cooking of their nuclear program.
Yes, and it wrecked them for years. And the way they ultimately were able to get in, because it was completely closed off technology. There was no internet. There was nothing connecting the computers inside. They got it through the programmers' home computers by putting the virus on their home computers, and then they would carry a USB stick into work to listen to music or watch a video or anything that, you know, because you were totally, you know, if you do anything like that, and they right. carried it in with them and yeah. got the virus. They got the virus inside that way.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is a good, that's a happy ending right there.
Well, for now.
Iran getting thwarted for years on brilliant technology espionage.
Yeah, but you know what, though? They haven't given up, and they're still there.
Still there.
And now the hornet's nest is buzzing. World's a fucking dangerous place. Would like it to calm down, if possible. I also need a running back in my fantasy league I need a wide receiver now, because Cooper Kupp is out for an extended period of time. Kamara's been off to a sizzling start for me, but I don't know if that's going to last. But I definitely
need a wide out. He's carrying your guillotine league team by himself. If you have Kamara, you can't get cut.
Well, let's not go that far. He's going to have a zero game or something, you know?
Well, so far, I mean, yeah, you couldn't have done it. You couldn't have fucked it up badly enough to have gotten cut the last 2 weeks.
Oh, hey, Charge.
Yeah.
Your team is 2-0. I owe
team
you
is 2-0.
A kudos and an apology saying they would suck. Sam Darnold looks like he's a new man. And is the thigh injury on Justin Jefferson going to be okay?
Well, we don't know that yet. They say they're optimistic, but we don't know that for sure. I'll say this. The Sam thing is going to pass in a year because he won't be our quarterback next year in all probability. But you know what will be here next year? Kevin O'Connell. And dude can coach up a quarterback. Yeah. That is exciting for this team.
Yeah, and he'll actually talk to his quarterbacks, unlike the dick who you just fired. He doesn't just walk down the hall and go, hey. Mike Zimmer just did like a nod. Hey. Kellen Mond is like, does he know that they drafted me in the third round? Like, they think I might be the future. Why is he such a dick? It's just Zim. Don't take it personally.
That's just Zim. Zim being Zim.
Last
thing on this. When the Vikings had to play the Packers 2 years ago with a third-string quarterback and they didn't use Kellen Moore, and reporters asked
Kellen
why.
Mond.
Kellen Mond? Yeah. Reporters asked why, and Zimmer said, I've seen enough of him in practice.
That's right. What a dick.
I told that story a few weeks ago. Yes.
All right. We're out of time. Love you, Charge. Talk to you next week.
Bye. What?
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.